We are reminded in the words from John chapter 4, Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." I don't know what kind of day you've had today. I don't know if you are in need of that water or whether you feel a bit overwhelmed by all that's gone on. But we are reminded that when we come to God, He can be all that we need. He can be that life-giving spirit, that life-giving water that we need to turn to again and again and again. We are going back to the source as we continue in our theme, or as we start our new theme this evening. And the theme is about going back to the source in tonight's context, focusing on the fact that we have been made in the image of God. And I wonder, what do you think that means? Being made in the image of God. Being made like God. Does that scare you or does it excite you? Does that thought burden you? Or does it make you wonder? Does it leave you feeling perhaps overwhelmed or amazed at how much God loves us? We're going to look at the theme this evening. But as we do, we're going to start with the wonderful words of the hymn, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise." Let us pray. And Lord, as we have just sung those words, Lord, you are indeed immortal. You are indeed invincible. You are the one true God. The God who, as we've already been reminded this evening, came to bring us life and to enable us that as we come to you that we will never be thirsty again, because we can come again and again to you and to your words and in prayer, knowing that you are always there. You always want to hear from us, that you love us and that we remain your children. And so, Lord, as we continue in our worship, may we be reminded of your love for us. In all that we do, we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm 8. It's a psalm that many of us may know, but we've chosen to read it tonight from the Message version. So the words, although familiar, will just bring a freshness as we look again at Psalm 8. God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout out the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry. Moon and stars surmounted in their settings. And then I look at my micro self and I wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look in our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being God's, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world. Repeated to us your Genesis charge. Made us lords of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild. Birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean's depths. God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world. And as we sing our next song, we are reminded of the awesomeness of God. You will hopefully have received your notice sheets during the week on email, and hopefully you've had time to look at it and to be reminded of all the things that are going on, things for the youngsters, Sunday evening at the moment, or in a short while will be the student stream, but the various other things that are available during the course of the week. Do keep an eye on your notice sheet. The prayer meeting will be taking place on Tuesday evening via Zoom. The details are all in the notice sheet. And Journey 2 will be continuing Tuesday evening. On Wednesday, grab your coffee as you join us for the meeting place, or maybe have a coffee to hand as we continue through the prayer meeting, the prayer course on Wednesday evening. The food bank continues to meet, and it continues to be busy. So if you're able to provide any of the requirements that we can find in our notice sheet, do have a look and drop them down between the hours of 9:30 and 1, when RBC Help will also be available, and there'll be someone in the church at the end of the phone or to take the food in as people drop it off. We recognise that people are continuing to be faithful as they give week by week. And so we thank you for that. Don't forget, you can do that directly through into the bank account or via the website, or to hold on to your gifts until we can meet again. But let's pray now as we acknowledge the goodness and the provision of God. Father God, we thank you that you bless us so much. We thank you that in the weeks that we have met in this building and the bags go round, many of us pass them by without putting anything in because the money has already gone directly into the church account. And we thank you for those who continue to be faithful, who continue to do it on a week-by-week, service-by-service basis through the website or into the bank account, and for those who are faithful and hanging on to their offering until we meet again. Lord, in so many ways, there are so many different areas in our life, in the life of the church, and in our world that needs this offering and these gifts. And we pray that as we seek to use that money, that we will use it wisely. We will use it to proclaim your name. We will use it to bring glory and honor and praise. Amen. We continue in prayer as we think about the needs of our church, of our fellowship, of our world and our country. Let us pray. And first of all, Lord, we pray for Anne and for Keith as she goes tomorrow for that procedure on her heart. Lord, we pray for them at this worrying time. We pray that they will know your hand upon them. And Lord, we pray for those doctors and nurses who will be caring for her. We pray too, and we thank you for all those in our hospitals, across this world, across this land, across our borough, who are seeking to make a difference in the lives of those that they are caring for. We thank you that we have people within our own fellowship here who are seeking to serve you in the way that they are caring for those day by day. But Lord, we recognize that that is tiring and it's emotional and it's a constant pressure during each shift. And so Lord, we pray for them. We pray for strength. We pray for strength too for our emergency services and our care workers and our all those who are seeking to be key workers at this difficult time. Father God, give each and every one your strength, we pray. We pray for Parkside, for the residents and for the staff and for the trustees as each day goes by. Lord, be in that home, we pray. And Lord, we pray for all those who are mourning at this time. We may know some, but so many families have been impacted by the loss of loved ones, brothers, sisters, parents, children, aunts, uncles, grandparents, so many different relationships that have been impacted by COVID-19. Lord, draw close, we pray, to those who have been taken because of coronavirus and those who have been called home by you for other reasons. Father God, draw close, we pray. Comfort those who mourn. Strengthen those who are struggling to find a way ahead. Lord, we do pray for those who particularly emotionally and spiritually are struggling at this time. Lord, you are a mighty God. You are a God who brings comfort and solace. And Lord, we pray for those who need to know that this evening. And Father God, as we come before you, recognizing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are the Sovereign Lord above and beyond all that we can understand, we pray for our government and our Prime Minister. We pray for the governments across our world who are daily dealing with the impact of coronavirus. We pray for decisions that are being made and for the way that we have to work with those decisions. And yes, it's leaving us with uncertainty about our own lives and about the lives of those we love. Lord, give us your peace, we pray. Give them wisdom. For those who are Christians in those settings, Lord, speak to them loudly, we pray, so that your voice will be heard in the ways that the decisions are being made. And Lord, we do pray for those who are serving abroad. We think particularly of Louise and for Pete. We pray for Andy and Rihanna. We pray for all our BMS workers. We pray for our mission partners at Winter Gardens and on the Hill with Church 123. We bring each and every one of those settings and situations we ourselves are involved in, and we bring them before you now, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you will answer. And we listen to the words of the Lord's Prayer as it is sung. We have two readings this evening, and the first one is from Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 24. Genesis 1, starting at verse 24. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all of the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
This week we are beginning a new series of sermons on how we can be like and say the do the things that Jesus would say in our everyday life. It's long been a case that people want to mimic their heroes. They want to imitate them. Be that from somebody who is their music hero to somebody on the film set. They would often dress like them or try to be like them. I suppose this is probably best said with the Elvis impersonators who like to just go to the Elvis festivals to be like their hero. Then there are those who struggle to find their identity or feel loss. One of the resources we're using for this series is a book called Back from the Source by Krish Kandaya, written in 2013. And he starts off this book with this quote. Pearl has been awake a while. Time of day makes little difference to her. Her radio is a main form of company, and she's glad it's 24-hour service nowadays. This morning she listens to an audio recording of the Sunday service from a church she used to attend faithfully, but now seldom visits. She listens regularly to the recordings, and sometimes she even sings along with the hymns. The preacher that this particular morning is passionate about the fact that we serve a missionary God. He challenges and commissions his congregation to go out in God's power to the four corners of the world. A tear forms in Pearl's eyes. She can only just imagine to reach the four corners of a sheltered accommodation. Every week, Christianity feels more and more like a whole list of things she will never manage to do. She pauses a sermon and feels more alone and incapacitated than ever. I don't know what you make of that quote. But maybe like me, you had an elderly grandmother killed when you were a teenager. I'm sorry if that shocked you. That might be something you never thought I would do. It was not an easy decision. It was either her or a sickly teenager. One of them had to go. It was common in the day. The school class had to vote who to throw out of a hypothetical hot air balloon that was losing altitude. Already all the ballasts, etc., had been jettisoned. And now all we had was either a doctor, the aid worker, president of USA, a teenager on kidney dialysis, and a 94-year-old grandmother. We voted for the grandmother. Maybe today we might have chosen a bit differently. This famous moral dilemma was known as the balloon debate. The intention was to have a moral debate, but underneath this was that people have more value by what they do rather than who they are. We often perpetuate this further. Even in church, our conversations, as we meet somebody in the early times, the conversation quickly goes to the question, what do you do? As if what you do gives you value. And sometimes we're more impressed about the person who says, well, I'm a GP, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a scientist, or I do whatever, to the person who says, I'm a carer, or I clean. Key in scripture is the fact that our value is based not on what we do, it's on who we are and how we see ourselves. The psalmist talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. Right back at the beginning of scripture, that reading that Vicky read to us a few moments ago, in Genesis 1 it says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image he created them, male and female, he created them. Three times in this passage, we are reminded that our primary identity is as bearers of God. The Greek word for image is icon, from which we get our word icon. An icon on a computer desktop simply reflects the function of a computer program. If you look at your computer desktop, you see a bin, which is the recycling bin. You see a W for Word and all sorts of other images, an envelope often for your email program. In the same way, we are called to be icons. We represent God, his character, his purpose in the world, to help others access him. Because God made us in his image, every person is equally valuable. We are all a representative of God. We are all made in his image. We are all an icon. Our value is not based upon what we do and how we do it. It's not based on how wealthy we are. It is based upon this privilege. This privilege that we are created in the image of God. We might want to use many measures, but God comes back to this one. You are created in my image. This service will be followed fairly speedily on BBC One by the Antiques Roadshow. And on the Antiques Roadshow, people will bring their objects in, and as the experts look at the object, be it a vase or a weapon or a meadow or fine paintings, the expert will be looking for the marks of the or signature of the maker or painter. The absence of which means low value, but find the missing stamp, the constable's signature, or another defining mark, then suddenly the value takes on a higher number, and zeros are added to it. The person who brought it will then inevitably need to say, well, it's not for sale anyway, we'll keep it in the family. But that mark, that signature, puts value onto that vase, that painting, beyond anything of its beauty, beyond anything of its worth. It's that mark that gives it value. Many times Vicky and I would look at that antique before we hear the value and say, well, we wouldn't give it house room. It's horrible. It's ugly. But then often it's because we do not see the value. We do not know the mark. We do not know the maker. Our value as people is based upon the fact that we have the mark of God, the stamp of the author, the stamp of God on our lives. We are made by a creator God in his image. You have worth because of your maker who made you. Stop and think for a moment. You have the mark upon you. The mark of God upon you. Your creator. He owns you. He loves you. You are worth more than possibly all you can imagine. You have value. Stop for a moment and consider that. You are the bearer of the image of God, but you need to understand what that means. We now need to look at Jesus, who was the image bearer, the God, the man who came to demonstrate and show us the way. We all sing that song, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way." Well, Jesus did that. So what do we learn? Well, firstly, from the book of Corinthians and Paul writing, sorry, the book of Colossians and Paul writing to the Colossians, it says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For him all things were created in heaven and earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones and powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, in him all things hold together. That we read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. What does this mean to us today? Well, when people saw Jesus, they saw a new God. They saw the Father through him. And he had such a clear sense of purpose of his calling to work as the icon of God, to show people God, that he was not swayed by public opinion or swamped by self-doubt. At times he was attracting crowds or being abandoned and betrayed by his followers, yet he never lost the sense of reflecting his Father's glory. And so by being an icon of God, being made in God's image, we have security in who we are. Secondly, we see that Jesus demonstrated that everyone else is to be valued independently of what they have done or can do. How often have you heard somebody say the words, "I am only"? Putting themselves down as someone of no importance. Maybe that's something you do. I am only, I only do this, or I am only me. Jesus demonstrated God's love for all, including those people who others would ignore. Jesus spent time with people with disabilities, the sick, with children who were welcomed into his presence, with women who were often seen in the day as second-class people, to the poor, to the outsiders. All in Jesus' world, in Jesus' life, had equal importance. In fact, sometimes those who people honoured and thought were reverent, Jesus spent, hey, come on, let's look at this person. They have value. He offered them all love, honour, respect, and treated them with value, grace, and dignity. Jesus never put himself over and above people, but alongside people. He chose ordinary people to be his best friends, fishermen, those who were not seen as the great and the celebrity, but the normal. And he listened to the cries of the destitute and reached out to touch the untouchables. This was Jesus' demonstration for us, and as people who are trying to be like Christ, we must ask ourselves, who do we spend time with? What does get our attention? Who do we value? I often hear about those who want to have the great speaker, the great importance people in their midst. I wonder what a church would look like, what a community would look like, where all people were treated with equal respect, with dignity, and no one tried to put themselves as more important than the other. The five in my balloon were measured by who could contribute the most to a consumerist society. Those who came short could have only one chance of being useful, and that was by becoming the disposable bag of ballast to save others. And Jesus, the true icon of God, well, he came to it. He became our Saviour. And when he saw the needs of the world, he did that, taking that jump out of the figurative balloon himself, dying for us all. The call of the icons, that's me and you, is that we act as we have seen in Jesus, treating every person with the same value, grace, dignity that God shows us, refusing to measure another's persons by their worth, by their economic or social contribution to society, but seeing them as valuable and important, full stop. Being iconic means that we are we and others are more intrinsically made and have infinite value. Being iconic is not something we can earn or achieve. It is an unchangeable status that we can appreciate and enjoy, and affirm that everything we are and do and say is ensuring that others around us know this truth too. You remember Pearl? In her sheltered accommodation, Pearl wipes the tears from her eyes. She may not be much practical use to anyone these days, but she thanks God for loving her so much. She doesn't know it, but one of the teenagers with whom she often chatted after the church service has chosen Pearl as a role model in life. Lauren says, "I love Pearl. She really seems to care about me and is so positive about everything, even though she has lots of pain and trouble in her own life." Pearl's home help also knew there was something different about Pearl. Shirley said, "Many of the people I work with treat me like a resented personal slave. Pearl treats me like a real person. Nobody has ever offered to pray for me before, and as I asked her about her faith, I knew she was telling the truth. It shone out of her face. It was because of Pearl I became a Christian." We are called to be icons of God. We are made in His image. We are called to live as people in His image. To treat people as Christ did. To love people as Christ did. To say the things that Christ would say. That through us, people will see God. People will find hope. People will find faith. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess that at times we have lost that view of ourselves, that we have worth. And Lord, we have spent too long measuring who we are in terms of our wealth, the effectiveness of our living, the importance as we perceive it of the tasks we do. Lord, come and show us again, we pray, of our infinite worth in You. Come close to us, Lord Jesus, and give us that sense that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are loved. We have value. And Lord, as we get that sense, help us to live as people who are images of God. To love, treat and care people as Christ would. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. Build Your Kingdom Here, that we will build Christ's kingdom. We are the church. You have been called to inhabit and make disciples by showing them the love of Christ. Go as icons, demonstrating God in the way we live. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.